All right, we're going to delve into Romans chapter 14. Lord willing.
And the church don't rise.
Or if it does,
if the church decides to rise, we'll someone else will have to be appointed to finish the lesson. Because it won't be me.
I can't.
Amen.
Me neither.
I mean, on multiple reasons.
I'll be busy at that time.
All right, let's go ahead and get started. And Jill, we'll have you open us up with prayer, my beloved better half.
Amen.
Yes.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this wonderful church that you have provided for us. We pray, Lord, that John teaches, you give him the right words to say. We pray, Lord, that those who are listening will listen well and check us out in the scriptures.
Amen.
And just give us a wonderful time of study now and fellowship later. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Well, let's go ahead and we'll take a look at least the first four verses. This is one dynamite chapter, totally. I'll read the odd. I'll let you guys read the even. 1-4. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him.
Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand.
Okay, that's... we're probably not going to get past these four verses. But verse 1 is the cornerstone for the entire chapter. I mean, we're starting with verse 1 here, and it goes clear down to verse 23. So verse 1 is the cornerstone, and the rest of the chapter divides in A and B all the way through. After doing some meditating, I would like to call this chapter How to Love One Another. Because that's really what it's all about. But if you're in the flesh nature, then the real title of the chapter is how we can judge one another. And how can I be on top? How can I cover my sins up by judging someone else's sin? And that's really the whole gist of it. And unfortunately, that's why Christianity hasn't moved too far towards the Lord. Because the second greatest commandment, Christ said, is love one another as I have loved you. And if we don't know how Christ loves us, how in the world could we love another Christian? It's totally an impossibility. Verse 1 here. Him that is weak in the faith. Notice where this person is. He's weak where? In the faith. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we know that the word him talked about here, him that is weak in the faith, we know that this is someone who's saved. Someone who is trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for their personal salvation. So we know that much right there. Him that is weak. So I looked up the word weak, just so we know, it means not strong. The word weak means easily broken. And that should come to mind for most people about if it says made in China.
Yeah.
Easily broken. One time I had a tail light that was out, and so I wanted to replace it, so I went up to the dollar store just above my street there, and I found the light bulb I needed. And the one I picked said heavy duty metal. So I went to twist it in, and it crumbled. heavy-duty metal. It crumbled. I could not use it. It did not fit.
That's a good lesson, though. Just because the words say it on the outside, don't mean it's on the inside.
Exactly. And that's true in the time of Christ about the whited sepulchres.
Mom's
glasses. The sepulchres on the outside were white, but the inside was darkness, full of dead bones. Same identical thing. The word weak also means not having a force of authority or energy. And we know when you read the last couple of verses, it says in there, Christ spoke with authority. He spoke with the energy that comes from being God himself. And he spoke the authority where? The word of God is where the authority comes from. The word of God is where the energy comes from. In Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick. The word quick means more than just to make alive. It means making us alive to God through the word of God, making us alive to him. It's alive. The word weak also means not able to resist a violent attack. Not able to. If you take a look at the Jews in 606 BC or in 70 AD, they were not able to resist the attack. They were weak. So if we're going to study weakness right here, him that's weak in the faith, there is so much you're going to learn on studying. We're studying about a person here who's weak in the faith.
You know, it's also the weak-minded, mainly is what we're talking about here.
Yes.
It's weak in a spiritual sense or weak in the faith. As
right.
And some of the strongest, physically strongest people you ever meet, we've talked about before how churches will put the strong business leaders as leaders of the church, but they're weak in the faith.
Yeah. I wouldn't mention this one church, but they put this one really rich guy high up. Doug might know the guy, but he couldn't find John 3:16 if you gave him 15 minutes. He just couldn't find it. Now, I'll give the guy credit. He was looking for it. I'll give him credit. Yeah, Doug.
There's a lady at work when I was working. She explained it all. She said, a lot of these rich people or a lot of people that are high in position, they are appointed, but they're not anointed.
Yes, exactly.
I like that one.
Yeah. And the same particular church, there's a youth group was doing a survey. They were doing a survey about, do you believe in the devil or not? And believe it or not, one of their deacons came by and signed that he didn't believe in the devil. So what's he being a deacon for? You know, there's so many crazy things going on. Him that's weak in the faith. Now, as we said here, the word faith here is the word of God. So a person that is weak, meaning they don't have a full comprehension, they don't have a full depth of knowing the word of God. This week when I was studying St. Patrick, I just finished the new St. Patrick track that went to the printers. But he did not go to Ireland until he was in his 40s. In his 40s. Now, if you look at the lifespan back in those days, 50 or 60 was about as long as you could expect to live. And he's around 40 when he decides to go to be a missionary there. And they said he had such a fervor in his spirit through faith in the word of God that he could not help it. It didn't matter how many times they punished him, how many times he was rejected. It's his strong faith in the word of God that kept him going. What an incredible man he really was. So the word weak here means not strong. It also means not having a full conviction or confidence. And I was reminded of the Lord again on Pilate. I'm doing a study on Pilate. And he's talking to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, don't you know that I have the power to crucify you or let you go? Now, you'd always say, that's a power of authority. That's a power of strength. And what happened? He caved in. He was weak. A little accusation, and down he went. And that's the same thing that's happening all across our country. people that are trying to stand up for what's right, and they crumble, and they fall. I can remember some of the council members here in Columbus, where they were anti-gay until their son became gay.
Yeah.
And then crumbled.
Senator Rob Portman did the same thing.
Yeah. And we could go on and on and on. They're crumbling left and right. And guys, the only source of our strength has got to be the Word of God. Amen. Now, again, the scripture says here, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Now, why in the world should we receive those who are weak in the faith? All right? Because the Lord Jesus Christ received them. All right? And Paul is saying here, they now belong to God.
Amen.
Okay? Now, just so we don't get too proud, and because we're here at BBF Ohio, and we're really getting the lowdown on the Word of God here, and we really got it. Guys, look here. Before we got saved, we were totally weak. We did not have an ounce of strength to save ourselves from sin. And if you're honest with yourself today, we still don't have an ounce of strength in ourselves to save us from sin.
Amen.
Because we're still weak, and we still fall apart. Yeah. And the Lord, if it wasn't for his hedge of protection around us, we would totally crumble. We would totally crumble. And I've read so many stories where people have crumbled and have betrayed the wife, betrayed the husband, betrayed the children, crumbled, fell apart. Guys, the Word of God is the only strength we have. One of the things I liked about St. Patrick that I kept emphasizing over and over in the tract, he loved the Word of God. He loved the Word of God, and he spent hours and hours of prayer with God. He loved to pray and talk to the Lord. And you can tell when you come across someone who has the love for the Lord and love for prayer and love for people, there's something radiant about their spirit and you like it. And not only are you drawn to it, but your carnal nature shrinks back. And that's why it's so important. Here, wherever we go, guys, love one another. Love one another, because it'll radiate. And you don't know what brother or sister here who's shrinking back today that needs someone to come along and just pat them on the back. You don't know when you're going to be contagious at that point and help someone along the road. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Now, I'm a little thick-headed, so I had to look up the words doubtful disputations. Okay, sounds like a legal term in a court of lawyers. So, first of all, we looked up the word doubtful. The word doubtful means undetermined. Undetermined. It means not clear in its meaning. Not decided. So that's what the word doubtful means. Let's have someone take a look at John chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. John chapter 10, verses 23 to 25.
I have it.
Okay.
And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me.
Amen. See, the people came to the Lord Jesus Christ, so how long did he make us to doubt? He never created doubt anywhere he went.
Yeah, they falsely accused him.
He says, I told you. And you guys refused to believe. Guys, he doesn't create doubt. There's one person that I'm working with on salvation, and they have doubts whether or not Christ will receive them. And guys, Christ already told him he would receive them.
Amen.
Already told them. So there's something deeper, something deeper going on that needs to be dealt. We're only dealing with shallow here. But look at the doubts here. Where's it go at? Unbelief. What causes unbelief? Look at an atheist. Unbelief. And what does God call them? Workers of iniquity. Iniquity has to deal with, nice as I can be, moral impurity. All right? They want to hang on to it. They want to cover it up. And that is what's going on. Once you start studying the Word of God, guys, you start seeing the deeper levels as it goes on. And it's not me revealing them to you. The Holy Spirit of God is the greatest teacher in the world, and he will talk to your heart, and he'll start showing you scripture after scripture after scripture, provided you're in the book. If you're weak in the faith, you don't know that many scriptures. You haven't trusted the Lord. Johnny.
Yeah, just the part you just read reminds me of the extremely clear proof of the problem with so many people, that that it's clear that it's not that they're not believing because they don't see the evidence. Because I just recently read the part of Lazarus, or reread it.
Yeah.
Where Lazarus was brought back to life, and the priests are saying, they're not even denying that Lazarus was brought back to life. They just say, if we don't put a stop to this, everyone's going to go to Jesus.
Yeah.
Here's Joseph. They clearly don't want to believe, even though it's right there in front of them.
Yeah. I think a little humor from the Lord, guys, okay? Lazarus was dead, verified, 4 days in the grave. Christ raises him again from the dead. And what did the Jews say? We got to kill him.
Kill who?
What's going to happen if they kill him? Jesus is going to raise him again from the dead again.
Yeah.
cuckoo. Okay? That's the way these guys are. Okay, again, let's take a look. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not too doubtful disputations. The word disputations comes from the word dispute. It means to argue with reasoning. It's the act of disputing, or reasoning or argument in opposition to something, or on opposite sides. Controversy in words, a verbal contest, respecting the truth of some fact, opinion, or proposition or argument. Okay, now it says here, what type of disputations? It says doubtful disputations. When you receive a brother, look here, we talk about politics all the time here, believe it or not, because the politics has a direct bearing on the Word of God.
Amen.
Totally direct. All right? Now, of all the different churches I've been at, some are Democrat, some are Republican. Now, you know what? We are not in a fight of Republicans fighting Democrats.
Amen.
That is not the place of the church, but it's okay to have discussion on here. It's okay, because there's certain wickedness that's lying in both parties, and they're not pure. Our faith is not the Republican Party.
Nope.
Our faith is not the Democrat Party. So this is one area. I like to use the word doubtful disputations, and we call it gray areas. It's a gray area. There is no Republican Party in heaven. Sorry, there's no Democrat Party in heaven. There's no Green Party in heaven. What's in heaven? The Lord Jesus Christ and the souls that have been brought to him. So when we receive another brother, it's not to look for a way to argue and fight with them over stuff. One time in my family, and Jill may remember this, there was a fight over Pepsi and Coca-Cola. Guys, what fight is it? If you like the watered down stuff, it's go for it. If you want the real thing, go for it, okay? Yeah. Now, I heard from different sources down through the years of the evil practices of Pepsi. And I thought, wow, they're crooks. So Pepsi must be okay. And now, again, on politics, okay. I have to share this with you. If the Republicans were in power, Russia got Coca-Cola. The Democrats are in power now, so they get Pepsi. Believe it or not, I don't know how these guys tie in like that. Okay? But as we know, even over the last few weeks, the evil of Coke. We know the evil.
I guess your point is we don't care if they drink Coke or Pepsi.
Yeah.
That's not.
Okay?
Yeah.
How about, down there in the South, apparently a Southern male, it's an RC cola with the moon pie. Okay?
Yeah.
Whatever you like to drink, drink. And if the company you're drinking is evil, pray for it.
John, I can make this very real, though, for churches and things. Right now, there are doubtful disputations, and people bring them in, and we've never told anybody they had to leave, but we just told them we weren't going to allow.
Correct.
And one is this flat earth.
Right, I was just going to mention that. Flat earth, yeah.
Another, we've had people come in who believe that all the leaders are reptilians.
And, yeah.
And that they're, you know.
They really believed it, though. I mean, and these people believe in the flat earth. They're buying it.
And then there were a group, this was an online thing, but it affected every people even locally, because when I wouldn't allow them to say that if you followed a certain health regimen, that you could basically undo the fall. You wouldn't ever get sick, or wouldn't even necessarily even have to die.
And I just have to look in the mirror.
I'm all for eating healthy and everything, but you can't undo that. You know, so I couldn't put up with that doubtful disputation.
Oh, yeah.
Pastors, Bible-believing churches are dealing with this stuff for real all the time.
Yeah. Well, here's the big thing that, again, as we go through the entire chapter here, I mean, we start going down there. Verse 2, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Okay? Well, we've had people come here that were vegetarians. All right? It's okay. If they want to be a vegetarian, it's okay.
Amen.
But I would share this with them. When the Jolly Green Giant Company moved to Mexico, they were buying the raw sewage from Detroit, New York, Los Angeles, San Diego, and putting it on the crops, okay? And it was found out it was 5% radioactive. So, if you like radioactive vegetables, go for it, okay? And the other thing you find out, most people, I knew a guy that was very strong in the Lord until he became a vegetarian. And he mellowed out. He lost. There's a reason why we eat meat. When Elijah had faced Jezebel, God gave him meat. Why did he give him meat? Because there's something in meat that makes you oppose what's going on. All right? You don't become passive. You become active. So that's why he fed him the meat. If you're going through spiritual warfare right now, I recommend a good steak.
The main thing is that would be protein. And
protein, correct.
When people don't eat enough protein and enough of the other things that you normally get from meat, it actually hurts them. And I have to say this, if you're a vegetarian, there's nothing wrong with it, but if you commit to convert everybody, that's when you're making it a religious issue.
Absolutely.
That's the problem.
Absolutely. So, in verse 2, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. So this is going into the area of the doubtful disputations. If you want to eat meat, okay. If you don't want to eat meat, okay. If you like okra, go for it. All right? If you don't like okra, don't eat it. Okay? Johnny doesn't like salad.
Amen.
Sorry about that. That was a confession from the pulpit here. John, go ahead.
I just thought what Pastor Miller just said, I thought this would be a fun tidbit about Weird Al, because I hear that he actually became a vegetarian, but he's one of the better ones, though, because he doesn't try to, from what I hear, he doesn't try to force other people to be vegetarians.
Correct.
And I believe, from what I can tell, he'll also still sing his old songs where he sings about eating meat.
Right.
Like Bologna?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so, verse 3 here. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. All right, so if someone comes in here as a vegetarian, let's don't despise him.
Amen.
All right, that's what it's saying here. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him.
Amen.
All right, they're saved. Regardless of whatever you eat, you're going to heaven. All right. There are people that may come in here that like to have fried cockroaches. Okay? I found out quite a while ago in North Korea, they don't have any rats. They don't have any mice.
Right.
They don't have any cats. And they don't have any dogs.
Oh.
the people are starving to death under communism. That is sad. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know if anyone else in here would be that starving to the point where we would eat a cat.
Whoa,
back
off.
Ooh.
No thanks.
Okay. Or eat a dog. We're not that desperate.
If you get hungry enough, you will.
I mean, the Israelites ate their own children. You don't know what you do. You don't know what you do.
Yeah. You don't know what people are eating around the world.
We don't know what we do.
We don't know enough statistics about our world for what's going on. When I found out 1.5 billion don't have restrooms. Good night. We're so blessed. Even with what we have here at BBF, we're blessed. Okay? We don't know how bad the rest of the world is.
Right.
All right? Verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Now, who's this other man's servant? Ask him that's weak in the faith. Even though he's weak in the faith, the Lord still calls him a servant. Now, to his own master.
Do the new versions change that to slave?
Oh, they would have to.
It up in
yeah,
the Bible
Gateway.
Yeah. Because it's servant.
Right.
Slave.
All right,
but yeah, they would change it to slave. Yeah, that just. Apparently, the Septuagint, over 400 times they changed it to slave. Over 400 times. See, guys, what happens with these older preachers is they're still trying to make money and look good in the eyes of the younger people. And so they come up with some of these bizarre things just to make another buck, to make you think they know something. And all they had to do was stay with the right book and spend time with the right book. There's a gazillion things in this book that you and I don't know nothing about. Nothing about. Tracy will be sharing a new track with you and your family there. Pi is the symbol. The symbol. Of the secret that unlocks the universe.
Yes.
Incredible. Totally incredible. Everywhere you see a circle, that's God's signature. Incredible study. So there's so many neat things in this book. To his own master, he standeth or falleth. Now notice the word here, master. All right? There are a lot of places in the New Testament where especially in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, where Jesus is called master. All right? But when we get saved, he's more than just master. He's Lord. He's Lord. And so what he's saying here, this person who's weak in faith looks as Jesus as a master, and he's still taking the path of learning how he is going to be Lord in his own life. The more you know about the Word of God, and Christ himself, the more he becomes Lord. You want him to be Lord. You don't want anyone else to be Lord in your life. You don't want any other Christian to be Lord. You don't want any pastors to be Lord in your life. You want the Lord Jesus Christ to be Lord. The more you get to know him out of the book. Get to know him out of the book. Wherever you're at in this world, get to know him. Spend time in prayer. Read, read, read. And you'll be astounded at what you start coming across.
It also affects the way other people see you because, like I've testified to before, I know a lot of Christians who their supervisors will tell them, you know, that you're my best worker. What is it that I can? They even ask, what can I do to get others to work like you? And the answer is, if you can get them to work as unto the Lord, because he's my boss.
Oh, absolutely.
And I used to have that bumper sticker on my lunch pail. My boss is a Jewish carpenter.
Amen.
And gave me an opportunity to witness to my Jewish boss at one point.
I had a hat that said, Jesus is my boss.
Yeah.
Doug.
Yeah, when people would talk about the separation of church and state, I like to always use the word Lord, because I asked him, I said, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, and then I take a step backwards and I say, which part is he not supposed to be the Lord of your life? The answer is none. No.
Yeah. Well, you probably heard of they call it axinomum or something like that. No, Lord. You don't ever say, no, Lord. Because that means she's not Lord.
Oxymoron.
Yeah.
Like Peter, okay. Peter's said that.
Yes.
No, not so, Lord.
Right. Then the other part you ought to keep in mind is Judas Iscariot. Not one time does he call Jesus Christ Lord. He always called him Master, but he never called him Lord. That should be a stark reality for us to think about that. Is he Master or is he Lord? Well, here the person weak in faith, he's under a master. Now, as he gets to know the Word of God, what's going to happen? Jesus will go from Master to Lord. Fascinating. To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. And I'd like to tell you how true that is. When I first got saved, I went to a church up here in the north. I'm trying to be nice not to mention any names because their feelings are tender. Okay? But I went just a couple of times, but they sent a team out to try to pull me in. And I was never home on Thursdays, but this one time I was home on Thursdays for three weeks in a row. And they came by and they saw me. I had my Living Bible, which I still have. Okay? And so I was reading the Living Bible. And they were telling me why that's a phony book. Why the King James is the Word of God. Now get this. They showed up at my house three times in a row. They did not share with me one single scripture verse why it was not the Word of God. I said, look here, if you read your book and you turn out all right, and I read my book and I turn out right, what's the difference? That was my argument. They didn't show me a single scripture verse. Not a one. Now, at the end of 3 weeks, I found out that they had a Bible study for men on Saturdays. All right? And I found out they were studying the book Revelation. So I asked if I could come. That was their one clue to pull me in. And they said I was too dumb for the book of Revelation. Too dumb. I would not understand it. We can't bring you in. And you know what? I never went back. Never went back. Now, I backslid for 9 months. 9 months I backslid, guys. Until the Lord says, John, this is it. You got to come. So he had another group of people bring me to another church on a Wednesday night. What book was they studying, guys?
Revelation.
What chapter? 16. And I remember clearly about the 96 pounds meteors coming down. All right? That's always going to be a nice thought for me. Because I'm not going to be here for it.
Amen.
All right? Him that's weak in the faith. Look here. The two people that led me to the Lord, I didn't meet them again for another, oh, goody, probably 15 years. Johnny was probably about two then. All right? But at that point, I hadn't met them for a long time. And what had God done at that time, that 15-year period? He brought me into a church. He brought me into a good church. He got me grounded on the Word of God. The King James, by the way, a week after these guys left, I'm reading my Living Bible, and I'm reading I'm reading Matthew chapter 5, Beatitudes, and there's an asterisk. And the asterisk pointed down to the bottom of the page. So I looked at the bottom of the page, and it said, not found in older manuscripts. And I could distinctly hear the Holy Spirit say, John, either my word is in the text or not in the text, but my word is not in the footnote. I closed that up. I went to Gold Circle, and I bought me a King James Bible. And I've been studying it ever since. And I still have the first Bible I bought. I still have it. Guys, these people that are weak in the faith, they belong to the Lord. The Lord is going to work with them. You pray for them, and you love them in the Lord. You love them. One of the things that we're supposed to do is found in verse 19, which may not get to you for a little while, but look here. Let's take a look at verse 19. Who's got verse 19?
Romans
14, 19. Okay, Johnny, go ahead.
Just that one verse?
Yep.
Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another.
How about that? Jenny's word, edify. The word edify means to build up. Love one another means what? It means to serve one another, and it means to build up. Yes?
This ties into the first verse where it says, to receive them, but not to doubt the disputations, because, you know, the only time I've confronted people is when they're trying to make issues.
Yes, exactly.
Trouble. But if you take someone who is weak in the faith, it means that they're just spiritually immature, they haven't matured. And so I don't try to convince them they're wrong about reptilian leaders or whatever it is.
Correct.
But what I've found is you can always tell when a Christian is maturing, because without you having to really say or do much, you see them get away from this wild stuff and get settled into the truth of God's word. Amen. And it happens over time. It's like a child, you know. The Bible compares us to children, and we grow, but a child doesn't grow up in a week.
Correct.
So we have to treat them like children, because children are weak.
Very weak,
you know,
yes.
In mind and weak in their faith. And that's what we have to raise them up in the Lord.
Correct.
And spiritually, we've had people come in here who are older than me, but spiritually, they're still in diapers.
Yeah, because they're not in the book, Doug.
Colossians 2:7 talks about rooted and built up in the Word.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Rooted. Yeah, farming term.
Yep.
I found out in farming, you got the roots, then you have the stem, and then you have the fruit.
Right.
And the farmers use three different fertilizers.
Yep.
One for the roots, one for the stem, and one for the fruit. And you notice the number 3. I get a picture of the Trinity.
There you go.
Spirit, soul, body. It's fascinating when you study the threes in Scripture. Well, with what little bit of time we have left here, let's see if someone can get Matthew 6:30. If someone else could get Matthew 8:26 and Matthew 14:31.
Okay, I've got 14:31.
And Matthew 16:8. Who's got those? They're all in Matthew.
I'm gonna get 6:30.
Okay.
Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?
Okay, little faith. There's a neat comparison with little faith and weak faith. All right? So there's a neat study there. He says, look here, if I can take care of the flowers of the field, can I not take care of you? There's a comparison. Little faith. Well, trust me, I can do greater things. Who's got Matthew 8:26? Yes, go ahead, Greg.
And he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm.
Yeah, little faith. They get this. They're on a boat with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They're hearing the word of God. The word of God is telling them, we're going over here. And all of a sudden, it looked like the boat's going to sink. They had little faith. Little faith, O ye of little faith. The Lord, guys, if you're saved today, you're not sinking. You have the Lord Jesus Christ in you. You cannot sink. You're going to heaven. You're going to be with the Lord. Take that little faith and make it big faith in Christ. He's the son of God. Who's got Matthew 14:31?
I.
Jenny, go ahead.
Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, Peter, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?
Yeah. Okay. Peter's walking on the water. And what happens? He's walking on water. Why? Because of the word of God. The word of God allowed him to walk on water. And what does he do? He takes his eyes off the Lord and sinks. One of the stories I read this week in the Old Testament was about an army. And the Lord gave him victory. Tremendous victory over the enemy. And what do? They replaced God with the idols of the people they just conquered.
Brilliant.
And down they went. Let's don't take our eyes off the Lord. Then who's got 16:8?
Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread.
Yes. The bread there represented the doctrine of the Pharisees. All right? The disciples were carnal thinking instead of spiritual thinking. When we have little faith, it's because we're carnal thinking, not spiritual thinking. And there's one other last verse, 1 Corinthians 8:7, we'll end there. 1 Corinthians 8:7, I'll grab that one, then we'll finish. 8:7. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their consciences being weak is defiled. Okay, 1 Corinthians 8 dealt with a bargain price on buying meat. But the meat was offered to idols. It was that offered to idols, they sold it on the market at a good price. You know, as Baptists, we love a good bargain.
Amen.
Okay? But the weak Christians, their conscience were defiled. You're offering to idols. You're eating stuff made to idols. And so we should not offend those that are of weaker faith until we can get them trained and taught in the Word of God. And so those are the first four verses. And the gray areas, the last thing to tell you of gray areas, we cannot build the Word of God on gray areas. We have to build the Word of God on the Word of God, on the Lord, on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we will stay Christ-centered, regardless of what storms come our way, we will stand. Amen. All right. Dre, go ahead and finish our study with the word of prayer.
Father, we thank you for bringing us before you today in this house of fellowship. We thank you for the word that Mr. John has given to us, and we ask that you bless the rest of our time today as we read the study that Pastor has brought, that Pastor will bring before us today. And he asks that you bless our fellowship later on this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.